You are now listening to The Social Hour.
Welcome to the podcast, guys. This is your social hour. We are your typical bastards. I am Deese.
And I'm Brian.
Welcome to the show. I think we're gonna get right into it. We're in a little bit of a time crunch today. We've got a lot of stuff going on, I know.
Yep.
It's been an interesting week. Labor Day is over. Summer's officially over.
It is. I don't think it's on the calendar until September 22nd. Isn't that the official first day of fall?
Yeah, well, you would know.
Oh, I would.
You would know.
I fucking love fall. And can I just say, when did we record last? Was it last Tuesday?
Yeah.
I feel like it's been a month or something. It just feels
like it's been,
forever. But, yep, fall is upon us. And as you know, I
love fall.
Oh, yeah. I love it, man. I do my annual reading of Catcher in the Rye. I drink a lot more dark ales. Some good cigars come out. The weather, it's just a magical time, Deese. And, you know, it's like I tell my girlfriend, you can't avoid fall, so you might as well just embrace it and make the best of it. Fall has a lot to offer.
That's the same thing they say about fat chicks.
Well,
can't avoid them. They have a lot to offer. I mean, they're nice. You know,
they want to please
you. Good personality.
Yeah.
You know, they're not much to look at.
You should fuck a fat chick in the fall. It makes up for it.
I feel like I probably have. So
here's the only downside to fall: football season starts,
and it makes everything way more awesome.
No, it makes everything way more lame. I would love it if the NFL went on strike.
Look, we can't do hockey year round, okay?
Yeah, you know what? And the hockey starts too. That kind of balances it out. But
Jesus Christ!
I don't know. Football,
let's
man.
Let's play an American sport. Nobody gives a shit about hockey.
Everyone gives a shit about hockey.
Who in America do you know that cares about hockey? That isn't some douchebag.
Everybody outside of Spokane, practically.
Oh, come on! I've lived multiple places. Nowhere I ever lived did people care about hockey.
Los Angeles very much cares about hockey.
No, they care. They cared for 7 minutes when the Kings won the Stanley Cup, and after that, they couldn't name one guy on the Kings right now. Most people in LA don't even know who Wayne Gretzky is.
Okay, in all fairness, that's because Mexicans don't like hockey.
Yeah.
Isn't that like all the
Why
LA is right
like
now?
Hockey?
Because it's fucking awesome. It's a manly sport. And I'm sick of this bullshit where people are like, oh, yeah, football players are the modern-day gladiators. Bullshit. You want to see a real sport? Watch rugby. All right, that shit is twice the size of a football field. Non-stop running. None of this whistle blowing every 4 seconds. Same hard-hitting tackles. No padding.
Male figure skaters are the gladiators of our generation.
Is that right?
Well, I feel like...
It does take some upper
body
strength.
I feel like they do more wrestling with other guys than anyone else.
Did gladiators wrestle?
Well,
I thought they were just chopping each other's heads off with swords and shit.
Well, there's lots of heads involved with, you know, figure skaters and things like that.
Pick them up, we're throwing down.
So,
but what it comes down to is you just get my Facebook. I think about canceling Facebook every fall because it's football this, football that. Go football this. People that don't like football just pretend to like football to jump on the bandwagon, and it's like, you know what? Get a real fucking sport, or get a real hobby that doesn't involve wearing another man's t-shirt.
Yeah, so we're gonna wear another man's fake teeth from hockey.
You know what?
These guys. Look, how stupid are hockey players? They can look.
You mean how badass are hockey players?
The goalies. Okay, the goalies wear full masks.
Yeah, because you got a hard rubber puck coming at your face at 300 miles an hour.
Right, so what the fuck are the other guys doing not wearing masks?
Well, they're not getting shot in their face with it, for one.
Then why are they all missing teeth?
Fights.
Fights, please. I've seen these guys get hit in the face many times with hockey pucks. They do know the masks are available, right?
Yeah, and
they're very aware of the full mask. So.
Now, here's what's even more badass, dude. Some goalies want to wear masks and helmets, which I think they should. There's been some serious injuries without, but back in the day, they didn't even wear anything on their heads. No helmets, nothing. The goalies just took it to the face.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Then they probably were fucking, you know, idiots. They died early, had aneurysms. It's like the helmet law in, for motorcycles. Yeah. How, if these people aren't smart enough to want to protect their heads, I'm not concerned if they want to injure themselves. Let's let them go.
Yeah.
With the fighting in hockey, it's so indiscriminate. It's like, we'll let you fight for a little while.
And then other times they break it up.
And then they break it up. It's like, where's the line?
There's no rhyme or reason to it, I'll give you that.
Also, any game that can end in a fucking tie, I'm not interested in.
It doesn't end in
a colossal waste of time.
What are you talking about, end in a tie? Dude, they go into sudden death overtime. Or
that just recently changed.
Nope.
Yes, it did.
Dude, it's been sudden death overtime forever.
No, why do they have a point system then in hockey where you can get point where if you look at the statistics on, and I'm just fucking sad that I even know this much about the NHL. they, if you look at the where they're at sitting for like the playoffs, there's three columns. They get points, certain amount of points for a win, certain amount of for a loss, and certain amount for a tie. And they get points for each win, loss, or tie. And then the most, whoever has the most points at the end of this season, that's their standings in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Why do I know more about hockey than Canadian?
First of all, I'm not really Canadian.
Where were you born?
I was born in London, Ontario.
Okay,
but,
well, I'm pretty sure, I'm not a geography major, but I'm pretty sure that's not
motherfucker,
in America.
I've got dual citizenship, okay. And I've lived in on American soil since I was like 6 months old.
I'm just saying, right. born where again? Where again?
Well, my parents tell me London, Ontario.
Oh, okay.
It could have been Spokane.
Sure, no, probably was. I'm sure they lied to you about you being born in Canada. That makes sense.
That's probably true.
So, fuck hockey.
Fuck football.
That's right. I'm a basketball guy, so it's mainly true. So. Basketball starts for me in 2 months, so my life will be complete again.
Yay. Can't wait.
I'll be happy. That's all I live for. My Lakers might not suck this year.
Might not or might?
No, they might not. They won't suck as bad as they did. They'll still be bad. But, you know, so I'm just going to get right into it with something, because we're talking about football and sports here.
Okay.
So, you're not a football guy.
Nope.
We just discussed this. You're not a sports guy, really.
I'm not a big sports guy. I enjoy playing sports. I could give a fuck less about actually following the sports and statistics. It's like, I don't need to watch sweaty dudes chase each other around a field after a ball and shit.
Well, I enjoy it. We've spent years specific breeding for a reason. Now I'm going to enjoy the fruits of not my forefathers' labors, because those, no relation to me there.
I suppose.
So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Michael Sam.
No.
Okay.
Can't say I am.
So he was this last NFL draft. That's when they pick players out of college.
Yeah.
Draft.
Believe
okay.
it or not.
All right.
Okay.
I just
draft.
Didn't know. I wanted to make sure. He was a openly gay player.
Oh, okay.
And he was the first openly gay player drafted in the NFL.
I did hear about that.
So he was drafted by the St. Louis Rams in like the 77th round, because the NFL draft goes on for like 5 days. I mean, it's just you figure the roster gets whittled down to 55 players per team. It's not like an NBA roster where there's 13 players.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of players, so there are a lot of rounds in football, a lot of positions to fill. The Rams drafted him basically last round, their last pick.
Was there a bunch of gay jokes about that? Like, can you do some ramming?
Yeah, you'd think, right? But it was, in my opinion, it was a PR move.
Sure.
The guy, it's the last round of the draft. This guy's not making the team no matter who they draft. But it's a feel-good story. Look, they drafted the first openly gay guy.
Wait, so he's not going to make, you said he's not going to make the team?
Well, just because you get drafted doesn't mean you're going to make the team.
So what is in this case, what happens?
When they after the draft, teams are at they've got like almost 100 players on the roster. They dwindle it down to about 55 players on a roster. I mean they start with like not 100, it's more like close to 80. So they cut a ton of people before the season starts.
Okay.
He did not make the team, he was cut.
After he was drafted, he was cut.
Right. Which,
what a cock tease that must have been.
Well, let's not use that phrase when it comes to Michael.
Oh, it was quite deliberate.
But what a PR move, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this had to have been deliberate. He's not making the team. Everyone knows that. He wasn't big enough. He wasn't fast enough. People were surprised he even got drafted.
In the sports world, let me ask you this. Does anybody give a shit about the St. Louis Rams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like they necessarily needed this. They're not like the Browns or some shit that everyone always like shit all over.
Right. Well, they're not winning Super Bowls, but
sure.
It's PR for any team,
yeah,
right?
Definitely. So you're thinking that this was just a PR conspiracy from the beginning, more or less. They know you're not going to make the team, but it looks good for us. Look at all this forward thinking that we're doing, all the sensitivity, hiring the first gay player.
It
brings a lot of publicity to them. That's
right. And, you know, they probably sold some. I don't know if they even made jerseys for him or not, but if they did, I'm sure they sold some. Then they get kickbacks on all that. But, I mean, it's, you know, and people are up in arms about this, kind of upset they didn't make the team. It wasn't big enough. It wasn't fast enough. One of the greatest things about sports or football is the meritocracy of it, where it's very, the best players are involved. You know, it's like if you put a team, you know, it's like plumbers.
Okay.
Good plumbers are always in business, are always working.
Sure. Yeah. They're always
They're always working. They always get work. The people who are shitty at their jobs just aren't working. You put that in any you know. And we've both done sales, things like that.
Yeah.
Good salesmen don't have to worry about getting a job. They work. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if he was better, they wouldn't have given a shit how gay he was.
Sure.
He would have been playing football. I mean, you look at the guys who, you know, how many football players, yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with these stories, but guys like Pac-Man Jones and the Michael Vicks of the football world, who, it doesn't matter what crimes they commit outside of football, if they're showing up on Sunday and delivering and playing well,
they're going to get picked up.
They're going to get paid money. It doesn't matter what they've done, who they've raped, how many dogs they've killed,
how many times
what
they've
strip
raped.
Club they shot up. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter. So...
They're playing, they're making points. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So what's the story with this guy now? Is he playing, like, in the, some, like, minor league football?
Well, he just got cut the other day, and then that puts him on the waiver wire, which means other teams have the ability to pick him up. No one did. He could still make a practice squad somewhere, which, you know, you're still making $150,000, $250,000 a year, which isn't bad, right?
Sure.
But we'll see.
I mean, if he's in it for the love of the game, why not?
You know, I think you're going to see a lot more of this guy. He's going to become some sort of LGBT face representative. You're going to find him everywhere, see him everywhere. So.
Okay. Interesting. Now, since this guy's big story, have there been other professional athletes that have come out of the closet and have not been afraid to say, you know what, I'm gay too, but I've been closeting it this whole year because of the whole machismo male manliness thing that comes around sports?
No, there was last year Jason Collins, NBA player, who came out as being openly gay.
Okay.
And I think he got picked up by the Celtics, or he was playing for the Celtics. I'm not sure if he was kind of towards, you know, he had a short-ish career, was kind of in and out of teams, not a super big player, but I mean, again, good PR move.
Yeah.
Can we get past the, like, does anyone really give a shit if someone's gay anymore?
I bet a lot of football fans in Spokane do.
I'm not sure about that. I know a lot of football fans, and I think most of them don't give a shit.
You know, they should.
I mean, we're past that, right? I mean, it's like, gay is the new fucking... I don't know. It's fucking gay. Gay is what, like, pop collars and neon shirts were in the 80s. Everyone's doing it, and it's cool.
Yeah.
So.
It is hip and trendy, it does seem like.
Yeah.
No one should give a shit. I agree. It should not be such a big news story when somebody comes out. You know, there's... I forget how much of the population is gay. It's supposed to be 10% or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, with all the professional sports players out there, there will be some. That are. And I'm sure there's plenty that haven't come out of the closet because they're kind of afraid of the ridicule. Maybe they don't want the spotlight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nobody should give a shit. We need to stop making a big deal of it.
Yeah. Well, you know there's got to be more. I mean, you figure, I think they say like 3% of the male population is gay, something like that.
Yeah, right around there.
So if that's correct, I mean, there's a couple hundred football players in the league. I mean, what are the odds that only one of them has ever been gay?
Yeah.
That's pretty slim. And when you look at statistics, odds, and things like that. So. And there's some big gay guys, all right? Those guys...
I think they're called Bears.
Yeah. So. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
I only know because I watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Is that it?
Bears. Bears, Twinks.
Seals? Isn't there Seals or something?
Don't know that one.
Cubs?
Cubs? I don't know. I haven't heard that one before. I don't know.
They're like the young boys that the Bears like.
So the opposite of like a cougar, like a female cougar. It's like a young.
Yeah, kind of. I think. Huh. I think the Seals.
Cub. That just sounds pedophile. It's like a gay pedophile wants the cub or something. Is what that. I don't know.
NAMBLA is yeah. out in full effect.
NAMBLA.
Anyway.
Huh. All right. Well. Good for that guy. I wish him luck on his football career. As an openly gay and proud man.
It's always the CFL.
CFL, that's the thing I was trying to think of. What is that?
Do you watch that?
Canadian Football League?
Yeah.
No, is it the same rules as the NFL?
Neither does anyone else.
that's what I figured.
Yeah, they just use, kilometers instead of yards, or kilometers, I should say, kilometers instead of yards and things like that.
Sure.
Anyway.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm trying to figure out what we can transition into next.
Just go.
All right. So speaking of drafts, they're pulling kids out of college.
Oh, look at that.
I know the word.
Smooth segue.
You like that? My college.
It worked better when you questioned it first and then went into it.
Well, I got to keep consistency here. Consistency counts for something. My college tuition loans are due pretty soon. So I'm taking a little break from school. I've got like two math classes left, and like we both talk about, math is not my strong suit either. So I've got like two math and two sciences.
You got to get an agent.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anybody out there is looking for some extra money, I will pay you to take my math classes for me.
Is there any Japanese people in Spokane?
Yeah.
We need you.
Maybe Koreans?
Maybe. Japanese is the better bet there.
Probably.
Maybe Chinese. Japanese or Chinese. That's Koreans or... If you want, we're trying to do math, not get our dry cleaning done.
So. Oh, that's how it works. Okay. Alright. And Japanese have the best Asian cuisine. What are the titles? We got the Japanese and Chinese are good at math. Koreans run the dry cleaning. Vietnamese do the nail salons. What do the Thai people do? Are they running all the martial arts students?
Well, yeah, I guess. That's probably some of it.
So, anyway, I'm taking a couple quarters off, just kind of brushing up on my math a little bit before I go back to finish it. So, in the meantime, Sally Mae is knocking at my door saying, okay, your loans are coming due in 90 days if you don't, get back into it. Some of my schooling was grants, some of it was loans, so the loan portion is due back. And I can't believe the frickin' interest I'm getting charged on this bullshit, dude. These
what
are
is, like,
federal
30%?
Loans. Well, let's just put it this way. I technically owe back about $10,000 in loans. If I pay the minimum every month, by the time it's all said and done, I'll have paid back almost $16,000.
Okay.
That's a shitload of interest, dude.
Over what period of time, though?
Oh, I don't remember. A couple years.
Okay.
So
the principal is about $10,000.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, it's like, I understand the interest has to be there.
Well, it's paid off so far, right?
Huh?
And the education's paid off so far, right?
So far, yeah. Yeah. Awesome community college degree so far. Basically just something to put on resumes, which I find out that most employers don't even check resumes. So just, put down your Harvard grad on there.
I thought about making it. Now, I feel like that's going too far, but if you like, if you like...
Eastern, or whatever, it's like, you know how few employers actually check to make sure that you actually have your degree?
Oh, yeah.
You're not fucking interning at an optometrist's office. Like, nobody checks it.
So, just put like, I was, graduated with a, 3.5 from, 2009 from North Dakota State. Like,
with the marketing program or whatever the shit.
Great.
Bachelor's,
Professor Dietz was amazing. The guy really taught me a lot. He's a mentor of mine. We're still Facebook friends.
Make it believable. But, I'm in the news. I'm sure you've heard about this. There's just tuition rates are out of control.
Yeah.
In America, especially, it's just through the roof. Gonzaga students that don't have a lot of grants or scholarships. This is Gonzaga, for instance. This isn't like exactly.
But it's a private school. If you're going to Gonzaga, you fucking got money, dude.
Well, hopefully. I mean, some don't. Like my girlfriend, she doesn't come from a lot of money.
Did she go to Gonzaga?
She went to Gonzaga. She got her MBA from Gonzaga. And
really?
Yeah. Where do you think it came from?
I thought she went to
Eastern.
To the Cougs.
No. Oh, no.
All her friends did, right?
Just Becky. All her other friends went to Gonzaga.
Really?
Yeah. Alicia. Mariah.
We're really close, apparently.
Yeah.
To be fair, I've only known your girlfriend for like 4 years. Okay?
You're probably getting that from Becky because you went to that wedding with Becky and she was probably talking about WSU.
I don't. I feel like everyone fucking... I get an assload of WSU up here. I hate it.
Everyone goes to WSU. But anyway... a lot of students, there's actually a lot of students at Gonzaga that don't have money. Yeah, it's a private school. It's not exactly Ivy League. It's $40,000 a year to go to that pile of shit.
It's not a state. It's not. It's a private college. What did I mean?
Yeah.
Why? What did? How did she? I mean, I don't mean to disparage your girlfriend. How did she get in? I mean, obviously she got in by her credentials, but what made her choose Gonzaga then?
At the time, she was finishing high school. She wanted to get in. She wanted. A lot of her friends were going there. She wanted. She could get in. It's a nice school. It was kind of prestigious. Her dad went there. Hmm. So she went for it. And now she's like, you know what? She's got a shitload of student debt.
Yeah.
And it was all private loans. And she's like, I could have gone to Eastern, got the same education, I'd still have the same job. I'd still be a CPA. It's not like you're trying to be a lawyer at a top law firm where it matters what school you go to. It's like, and that's kind of what I'm getting at here. I mean, you see all these tuition hikes. Like, even in state colleges, man, like UW is like 20, the last I checked was like 20,000 a year.
Well, WSU, speaking of fucking shitty schools I hate, they had something like almost a 10% increase in tuition last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy dollars for these kids to get an education. Not only that, the education means less. Might mean less than it ever did.
Yeah.
In the real world.
And that's exactly what I wanted to get at.
Yeah.
Finish your thought.
Well, for practical application, it means less than it almost ever has before, and it costs more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those two statements need to be flipped. It needs to be, I mean, it should cost something. It's time and dedication and cost. I mean, there should be a fairly substantial price tag for what you're getting out of it.
Yeah.
It's probably too much right now, but it's more than the return most graduates will ever see on it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's the point I was ultimately getting at. I really think that in the job market over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see a major shift.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, it was you need a college degree. Like, we want to see a 4-year degree. Some companies are still like that. Like, I know American Express, for instance. If you don't have a 4-year degree, you'll never work in any position at the company outside of, like, a call center.
Sure.
And that's kind of an old-school way of thinking. I think with our generation coming up and starting companies, especially all these tech companies, design companies, things like that, they're going to be looking for experience over education. You know, what can you bring to the table? Like guys like you and I, we've got, good 10 years or so of sales experience, business development experience.
Right.
That's a hell – and no college degree. And that's a hell of a lot more valuable than some kid fresh out of UW Business School is going to bring to the table.
No real-world application.
Yeah.
Never actually experienced
anything. Exactly. And like you said, with the value of education kind of going down – and the price tag going up, we're just going to see a big shift in that. I mean, yeah, if you're still trying to be a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, like any kind of doctor, any kind of specialized field, obviously you need that special schooling, you know. Not just anybody can be a dentist.
Well, no one wants to be a doctor anymore. There's so many people, the people going into medical programs like that, that has decreased so significantly over the last probably decade because of the lawyers, because of the cost of being a doctor, you know, these malpractice suits and things like that. Doctors can't afford to be doctors anymore. You know, the insurance they have to carry to even practice now is so astronomically high that they can't even make the money they made before. I mean, you're talking about a $750,000 education for a lot of these guys to become a doctor, and they can't, you know, they're not even making their money back. Because they get destroyed out there with all the malpractice suits, having to cover so much insurance, and now what they're getting paid back with the Affordable Care Act has deterred a lot of people from becoming doctors because they don't get paid back a lot through insurance and things like that. Their compensation is not the same, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, back to the point, the value of an education is. The cost has gone up. The value in the real world has gone down.
Yeah.
They need to kind of flip that. Just having some experience. I mean, like you said, these real world or these tech companies and things like that are being built and startups and whatnot. But you got to figure there's a bubble on that too. I mean, there's only so much room out there for that before that kind of bursts. Also,
could be.
I mean, we're past the .com era, obviously.
Yeah.
We're more into, the social media
app development,
type startup. Yeah. But you know, there's only so many of those. I mean, what's the next thing coming down the line that is, the big platform technology wise?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, as that goes, it distills jobs down too. It's less and less. Everything's being done more by technology.
Yeah.
Less jobs.
More automated. Absolutely. I mean, shit, look at all these companies. I mean, it's starting with the minimum wage jobs right now.
Yeah.
With this whole $15 minimum wage hike over in Seattle, a lot of the fast food companies are looking to replace some of the labor with automated kiosks.
Yeah.
They're already being done a lot back east. I saw some with Panera Bread.
Yeah.
McDonald's had a couple, and you just walk up to it, and you know, it's like a little kiosk.
Just
punch in your order.
It has pictures, and you fucking just push fries.
Yeah.
Fries in my mouth.
Exactly. A little hose drops down and squirts in the face with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you slide your credit card, stick some cash in, whatever. And it's done, man.
Which is, you know, I think if a company was smart, a company like McDonald's especially, their CEOs are so greedy, But a company like that that's so widespread, if they were really smart, they would... I know they save money going to the automated system, but the morale, the people that will rally around you, if you put out a decree saying, we are only going to, you know, have employees to service our valued customers. I mean, do you know what that would mean to people? I mean, do you know what, how much people would get behind a company like that?
I think in theory it would, but with these fat slobs that drive the minivans and go pick up their three double cheeseburgers daily and then park in the parking lot and eat it, give a shit about whether some pimple-faced kid is actually hooking them up with their food or not.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
But I see what you're getting at, though. I mean, that would be some good publicity. I'm sure some news companies would pick it up and, like you said, rally behind it.
Yeah, I mean, this minimum wage hike, have we talked about this?
Yes, we are. Off air.
Off air, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I always say is that people bitch about this minimum wage hike, and companies do, and say, well, if our minimum wage goes up, then our prices have to go up, and this and that, and et cetera, you know, we're going to lose money. But what I don't think people take into account is that people don't save money.
Yeah.
I mean, Americans don't save money anymore. If a $10 an hour...
Low-wage employees especially don't.
Well, right, exactly. Yeah. The people who are at that level of they're going to get the hike, if they're making $10 an hour now, and now they start making $15 an hour, they're not going to be saving $5 an hour extra. They're going to be spending $4.85 of that an hour.
Yeah.
And they're going to be putting it back into the marketplace. They're going to spend money to go out and see movies, to buy more clothes, to go out to dinner and restaurants and things like that, and afford things that they haven't been able to afford for some time. They're going to be buying cars or homes even, or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put it back into the system. So it's not like they're hoarding it. They're not burying it in milk jugs in their backyard.
Yeah.
They're fucking holding. They're spending it. So it does boost the economy. I mean, I've argued this with several people. It would improve the economy. I mean, like, in the 50s, was Truman? I think it was Truman was our president.
I don't know.
I think it was Truman who, he actually doubled the minimum wage in the 50s, and it led to the largest economic boom in American history. Mm. I mean, the 50s was, we were living on high on the hog then. That was literally the biggest economic boom in American history. And we need to look at that model and use that again. I think we would really improve the economy if we could just, people had more money to put back into it.
Sure.
And the wage disparity. We've got the corporations and the, how much the, what is it, 30% of the wealth is going to 1% of the population.
Yeah, something like that. Some crazy number.
So, I mean, the gap is widening. The disparity in wealth distribution is getting pretty crazy.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens because I think they have 3 years. If I'm not mistaken, 3 years to start instituting
the wage hikes.
Yeah.
So San Francisco did it too. All the progressive. I mean, people are going to say very liberal. You know, yes, probably too liberal. San Francisco, Seattle. I mean, I'm for sanity. I'm somewhere in the middle. I think we both are a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I just say I'm not fucking retarded.
Sure.
You know, socially I'm liberal. Fiscally, I'm pretty conservative.
Sure.
That's kind of where I...
Kind of standard libertarian.
Where I land. Well, and libertarian even bends a little far for me, too, because, I mean, I don't want to put a... I hate putting a label on it.
Yeah.
You know, I just want sanity. I just want sanity. I want less government. I want us to be more responsible with our money and people to be more responsible for themselves.
Sure.
And I don't think it's that much to ask, but...
You wouldn't think so, but Jesus Christ, some people struggle.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, we're ticking along here. I know we're on a time crunch. About a half hour in. We got guests this week, so our personal section is going to be cut down a little bit. So should we just jump into continue on with the movie series?
Yeah, we've been doing this weekly kind of... It's been fun. It's been a good challenge. And so
it has.
It's gotten me to dig a little, but this week we're doing 10 underrated films.
Yeah.
So...
You don't have to like them personally, you just have to look at it objectively. Subjectively?
Objectively.
Yeah. And determine what's underrated. So
what's underrated, that's
we
right.
We had some good ones on the overrated side, a few we definitely agreed on. I think they were all a pretty good list. I really tried not to be biased and just go with ones that I truly thought were overrated by the critics.
Yeah, same. There were ones that, even movies I enjoyed a lot that I put on my overrated list, you know, that I can look at and be like, okay, that is, it is more, you know, lauded than it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we're going to try and keep these kind of things going where, you know, it's kind of been fun. Maybe move it on. I know you want to do, you know, music, bands, other things like that that are overrated, underrated, kind of.
Yeah, keep that theme going.
Yeah. So
maybe next week do like an overrated actors.
But yeah.
We've got Peter
and Katie coming in from Mutton Mutts later, but we'll get into that after the break. Let's get into underrated movies.
Let's do it. Before we do that, I just wanted to add, and this can, like, for me, as I was making this list of underrated, I had a harder time with underrated, but as I got going with it, I realized there was a lot more than 10 I could put on here.
Yeah.
But it's not just what critics didn't like or what the audiences didn't like. I think it's just underrated overall, if that makes sense. And I did want to say, I thought of one more overrated film that I cannot believe neither of us thought of last week.
Overrated?
Yes.
Lay it on me.
Boondock Saints.
Oh, fuck. I like to not even think about that movie because it makes me want to throw up.
I hate that pile of shit movie. I don't understand how it's got such a big cult following.
Dude, because people are fucking idiots. Do you know what's here's the best thing. Anytime I ask someone, why do you like that movie? What is so good about that movie? And they're just like, dude, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that part where it's fucking awesome. They can't tell me what about it. I'm like, was the story great? Is the cinematography awesome? Is it the pacing? What about it? Is the character development just blows your mind? Nothing. It just is one of those things that came at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Macarena.
Yep.
It's just perfect timing. We just needed something brainless and mindless to stare at and just follow along. And it just gives us the directions. Look, turn here.
Yeah.
We shoot this guy and da da da. There's nothing at his most hollow piece of shit movie.
Horribly filmed, horribly written.
Fuck that movie, dude. And I see people with posters on their walls and shit like that of just. Actually, another movie that I didn't put on there because I thought maybe it was too obvious, but now that you say it, I'll shoot this one out there. But Scarface.
Scarface. Yeah. Definitely not. It was ahead of its time when it came out, I guess they say, but definitely, I don't understand the appeal with it. It's like, yeah, some badass drug lord down in Miami and shit, but it's not a great film.
It's okay, but it's for people talk about how great of a movie, and it's pretty overrated.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good thought.
All right, well, let's get into this. Go ahead. We'll go back and forth like we have before. Let's see if we have any of the same ones on here.
Okay.
Like, I think we have.
It's interesting, yeah.
In the past, but
I don't think you've seen this, at least you had last time I actually mentioned it, but the new iteration of Dread.
I had seen it.
Did you see it?
It was fucking unwatchable.
What?
Oh my God, you were like the
first person I've heard that's watched it that has said that, dude.
I could not. I got about 35 minutes into it, and I had to turn it off.
And to be honest, I never finished it. I had something else come up, and I never got back to watching it, but I thought for what it was actually pretty decent.
I could not fucking watch it. It looked like... Yeah, fuck, dude, it looked like somebody filmed it on their iPhone. Like, it just... I couldn't stand that movie.
Interesting. So you didn't appreciate anything about it?
Not a thing. The acting was terrible. It was just going nowhere.
It was kind of slow and dull.
So, yeah. Not, all right, well, all right. Off to a bang. Bang up start on that one.
See it eye to eye.
Here is one from a director I hate, but I love this movie. From M. Night Shyamalan, Unbreakable.
I didn't even think about that. Interesting. I do like Unbreakable. That's pretty much the only film by him that I like.
Same.
It was a good film. It was dark. It was shot very well. It was good acting, well paced.
It was put together so well, and the way it was really like done, kind of like a comic book, which you know I'm kind of like a comic book nerd, and that's the idea of it. And it was really very. The characterization, the twist at the end, and everything really just put together really well, I thought. People never talk about it when they talk about his good movies.
Yeah.
Or his bad movies. They just don't talk about it.
That's true. It's kind of left off the radar.
And I don't know why. I mean, you know, Bruce Willis kills it. Samuel Jackson kills it.
That was an actually interesting plot twist. I hate to use that term.
Right.
It's one of those phrases we talked a couple podcasts back about overused terms now. The plot twist.
The cheaper plot twist, too. But it was It was kind of subtle and well done. It wasn't just this dramatic twist that changed the rest of the movie and tried to blow your mind.
Yeah.
It was just this subtle, slow twist.
Exactly.
And it was, I think it was perfect.
Yeah.
This crew is well done. Underrated, no one talks about it.
It is. That is actually a perfect list. Perfect for this list. Underrated. It is. It was great. My next one came up. It's, I believe it was directed by Bill Paxton.
Oh, interesting. Okay. From Spaceballs fame.
Was he in that?
Spaceballs?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Lone Star.
Oh, okay.
He was the main guy in Spaceballs.
So this starred Matthew McConaughey. Okay. He was good. This was like in his like rom-com era, so he actually did this one.
Surfer Dudes. Let me guess. Something let's see. I'm going to have to guess. What's her name? Kate. What's her name in it? Kate. Kate.
The chick from
Kate.
Almost Famous.
Kate Hudson.
Yeah, nope, she's not, surprisingly.
He has never done a rom-com without her.
He did one with Sarah Jessica Parker with A Failure to Launch, where he like he's 30-something still at home.
What's this one?
It's called Frailty.
That was a rom-com?
No. Oh, I'm saying this was during his rom-com era.
Okay, I'm like, that's
No, this was during his rom-com era, so this is like quite opposite of what he was doing at the time.
I never saw that one.
I highly recommend it. I won't ruin it for you. Basically, it's about this guy that has
he's
a brother.
Overweight.
Huh?
He's overweight. Eats too much.
Not this time.
Oh, okay.
He grows up with a brother. Their father is obsessed with receiving a message from God.
I have seen this one.
Yes,
I have seen this one. Where it turns out he's telling the story about his brother, but he's actually the brother at the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Have seen it. Good film. No one talks about it. I forgot the name
of
it.
Kind of flew under the radar, yeah.
Great movie. Good call. Yeah.
Okay.
Next one on my list we talked about, but Lord of War. With Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about this on one of the other podcasts, but I love that movie. And no one... Maybe it's just because it's like, not cool to talk about Nicolas Cage anymore.
Yeah, without trying to be ironic.
Right. But he made some good films, and that's one of them for me.
He's a good actor, yeah, man. We should do a list of, like, best Nicolas Cage films.
Right. Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona, yeah. I mean, Adaptation. Matchstick Men. Huge Matchstick Men film.
Yeah.
There's
some other ones in there.
Yeah, Lord of War, the opening scene, Life of a Bullet, they call it.
And love that.
Badass. Next up on mine, didn't do great at the box office. I think critics were kind of meh about it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good... There's a lot of thrillers on this list, I noticed. But anyway, it stars Steve Zahn and Mila Jovovich. It's called A Perfect Getaway.
Never saw it.
It's about stolen identity and a couple of killers on the loose in Hawaii and... It's worth a watch. It's pure entertainment. Not a great film. Not an Oscar winner, but it was good. It was a semi-original thriller, I thought. Well acted. It was right amount of creepy. It was good.
Who was in it?
Steve Zahn.
I don't know who that is.
Mila Jovovich.
Mila Jovovich, I guess, yeah.
The poor man, Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, okay.
What's his name? Timothy Oliphant.
Okay. All right. What was it called again? Say that one more time.
A Perfect Getaway.
I don't know why I'm writing this down because you have the list and like I know
I'm scratching off
sitting right next to you. Okay, next on my list is a movie I think we've talked about that I love, starring Sam Rockwell.
Ooh, do love Sam Rockwell. Moon, good call. That is perfect for this list as well.
I've never heard anyone talking about it. Just
he carried that film perfectly for being the only guy, especially.
Yeah.
But
you know, and you know me, I'm a Stanley Kubrick fan. So this drew back memories of. 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Sure.
It almost seemed like an homage at times.
I should watch that again.
But it was well done. You know, just so creepy and eerie, and kept you captivated the whole time. And I hear no one ever talking about it. I don't even remember when it was in the theater.
I
this
don't know
if
it was.
2009.
I think it hit. I think it did the independent circuit. Like it was probably South by Southwest or Cannes or something.
Okay.
But maybe Toronto International Film Festival. But, yeah, I don't remember having a major theatrical release, and supposedly that's supposed to be the first in a trilogy.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, good film. My next one, this actually has developed a cult following, thanks to the rise in popularity of Texas Hold'em back in the mid-aughts.
Okay,
you probably
know where you're going.
Yep, Rounders.
Good movie.
the guy, what's his name, Katzman? What's the guy's name who wrote that?
I don't know.
Gosh, what's his name? I gotta find out his name now. Because he's a great film writer.
Okay.
Something with a... His initials like BK...
Rounders. Well, why don't you tell me what's next on your list? I'll look it up.
So, next on my list is...
Wait, holy shit, Rounders 2 apparently has a sequel.
Oh, jeez.
Some direct-to-DVD pile of shit, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can imagine so. Looks like, here we go, Rounders... written by Brian Koppelman.
Oh, okay.
The guy is a great film writer. He's got some great credits.
Yeah.
He's written some shitty movies too. But he's The Illusionist.
That came out. Have you ever noticed there's certain movies that come out with kind of a partner, if you will, like Volcano, and
Dante's Peak.
Yeah. I feel like
Deep Impact, and whatever. Armageddon, yeah.
I feel like the Illusionist version of that was The Prestige, which I actually liked a little bit better, more.
Yeah. Okay.
But
this guy, Brian Koppelman, great screenwriter.
Runaway Jury has a great adaptation. Yeah. I like that.
So next on my list is a movie starring Clive Owen, Children of Men.
You know, I thought about putting that on the list, but I left it off.
I love that movie.
That is underrated. I think the critics actually ate it up, but it wasn't a huge hit with the fans. I don't think it did that well in box office. I don't think it's even developed that much of a cult following.
I hear no one ever talking about it.
It is,
or
I agree.
If I bring it up, I don't hear people usually don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That
continuous shot at the end. The word is like going through the town to get the girl on the boat. Isn't that thing like 9 minutes long?
So yeah.
One continuous long shot? Incredible.
It's well done. Who directed that?
I think he's a Mexican dude, or South American. He's the guy that directed Gravity.
Oh, what's his name? Alfonso Cuarón.
That's it. And Gravity was his first film since Children of Men.
Which may be a very overrated movie. I like Gravity, but maybe overrated.
Yeah, that's a, that would put a, I'd put that on the overrated list
for
sure. I
saw it once, I never need to see it again, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
All right.
You got a time crunch.
All right, here we go. So, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Caught this one on Netflix a couple, probably a year or two ago. I think it had very limited theater release. Ethan Hawke and Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's about a couple of brothers that rob a jewelry store. Good film. Dark, well acted, paced kind of slow, but I liked it.
Okay. All right.
Give it a whirl if you're ever bored.
Next one on my list is a movie by a director we both love, Darren Aronofsky. The Wrestler.
I was this close to putting that on the list also, but I was like, that's already got tons of critical acclaim. People liked it, so I didn't put it down, but that is a great film.
I don't hear anyone ever talking about it.
It doesn't come up in conversations often, but,
And
that's true. It's probably one of his more obscure titles.
And any movie that has Marissa Tomei naked is, I'm down with that.
She is a fox.
She is a super fox.
She is
a
foxy.
So.
Okay, cool. Next one for me, another thriller, Stir of Echoes, Kevin Bacon.
Okay. I remember seeing it in the theater, and that's it. I don't remember much about it.
I thought it was a great film. Fantastic story. Good writing.
It's when he finds someone buried in his basement.
Yeah.
And
he's having, like, visions and stuff after being hypnotized. A lot of people called it, like, just a paint-by-numbers post-Sixth Sense twist chiller.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was so much better than Sixth Sense.
All right.
It was good.
I'll check it out again. Give it a second whirl.
Yeah.
Next on my list is a movie starring Michael Fassbender called Shame.
Never saw it. I like Michael Fassbender a lot. Definitely one of the best actors today.
Yeah.
Was it good? It was one of those super sexual, wasn't it?
Very, yeah.
Did he bang his sister?
You don't watch it with your mom, because that was the worst Mother's Day I've ever had. I mean, especially when I was trying to beat off over it, she's like...
Yeah, just do the blanket or pillow on top.
Right,
yeah, that's fine.
The masturbation tent.
Yeah.
Good movie, though. Very well, I mean, just... Interesting, kept me captivated the whole time.
Who's the girl? Because I like her a lot. She was in that terrible movie Drive, and she's been in a couple other things.
Who else was in that? Let's see.
She's a cutie, though. She's a cutie, good actress.
Let me find out. You can go on your next one. I'll find out who we got here.
All right, next up for me is A Scanner Darkly.
You know, I thought about putting that one on, too. I own that movie.
Yeah.
Carrie Mulligan? Is that your name?
That's it, yep.
Okay.
She also kind of came up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I like her. I mean, she was in Drive. She was in the new Great Gatsby, which was terrible.
Oh, that Drive should have been number one on my overrated list. Yeah. Fuck Drive. All right, that movie sucks so bad.
What'd you say? Scanner Darkly.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Faithful adaptation to Philip K. Dick's book, which is awesome.
Yeah, which usually his don't get very good adaptations.
No, they get butchered.
Or what is it? Isn't it iRobot?
No.
Didn't he had something like that? He had another one that...
there was Minority Report.
Oh, the Minority Report was also one.
Yeah, which that was somewhat faithful. Paycheck.
That's all right.
Three more. What's up on yours?
Next up is from another director I love, Wes Anderson. One of his, I think his first film, actually, Bottle Rocket.
Never saw that.
Very, very good.
Okay.
It's great.
It's on Netflix. I like Wes Anderson.
It's got, starring the Owen brothers, his typical go-to guys.
Okay.
So.
I will check that out. I still need to see Grand Budapest Hotel.
I enjoyed that a lot. Most people did not.
That's what I've heard.
They kind of described it as a caricature of a Wes Anderson movie.
Let's hope that doesn't happen, man. Like, I know what they mean by that. He's getting a little too Wes Anderson-y.
I personally loved it because it was more fast-paced. It was quicker, wittier than most of his movies.
Okay.
So
let's just hope he doesn't pull a Tim Burton, because Wes Anderson has a very distinct look, what I mean? And so did Tim Burton, and it got to the point where, like, Tim Burton is absolutely a caricature of what Tim Burton was.
Right.
Like, Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice, Ed Wood days.
Yeah.
That's why when he was announced to do Alice in Wonderland, it seemed like the perfect fit, dark and twisted,
and it just
campy, crazy. And just, awful.
So
Tim Burton is just a shell of what he used to be. Next up for mine, a director we don't like, but I thought this was a great film, good action, good comedy, Bad Boys 2.
Okay.
Critics hated it, fans loved it, but...
Alright. I feel like I hear about it a lot, though.
It still holds up to me. It's entertaining, good action, like, it's just a good summer-ass movie.
Okay. I'm going to regurgitate a couple here, because we're on a time crunch,
okay.
And we'll just go from there. I got my last three, I'm just going to spit them out.
Okay.
One of the last James Bond movies, Quantum of Solace.
Didn't care for it. Dislike it, but I didn't like it.
I fucking loved that movie. That movie kept me going from start to finish. People ripped on it as such a shitty movie.
I remember that.
People loved Casino Royale, the one before that. I was not a fan of it. I was bored most of the time.
Sure.
Interesting.
I loved Casino Royale, except for the whole fact that, like, they have the terrorist right there, but they're hinging on winning a game of Texas Hold'em to bring him in.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that?
I know.
Also, Texas Hold'em, come on, this should be Baccarat. This is James Bond. He's playing Texas Hold'em.
Well, it's in right now.
It was
trendy.
Yeah, that
That's
came
why.
Out of the peak of that game. Yeah.
I mean, when they have the fucking World Series of Poker.
Yeah, I get why they did it. I do, it was just hokey.
Yeah. And then I've got Misery.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got...
Love that movie.
Zodiac, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Zodiac, okay, that crossed my mind. That was well done. I'm not a huge Gyllenhaal fan.
Nah, I'm not either, but I like the movie.
It was a good movie. They explored the mystery quite well. Misery, one of my favorites.
Yeah, one
Faithful
of the best,
to the book for what they could.
Right, one of the best Stephen King adaptations.
Definitely, and I know we got to wrap this up. My last two is Man on Fire, Denzel Washington.
That's a great film.
Yeah.
That is a great film.
And last one, by some of our favorite directors. Everyone keeps trying to compare it to, like, The Big Lebowski. They weren't trying to make The Big Lebowski, but this is called Burn After Reading.
Okay, by the Coen brothers.
Yep, subtle, great humor, good writing, quirky characters.
I've actually never seen that. That's one of their movies I've never seen.
Okay, well, we got to get you a copy of it.
Yeah.
Next time you got more time, I'll give you a copy. I've got a digital one.
Okay.
So, yeah, great film, dude. If you like the Coen brothers, you'll love this. It gets better with each watch, also, because you pick up on more stuff.
Yeah, I'll have to. That's one of the ones I've always wanted to get around to, just never did. So. All
right. Well, next week we'll continue the film series with overrated actors.
Want
to do, like, five overrated and five underrated?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
In the meantime, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be back with our guests for the week.
We'll be back with, Katie and Peter from Mutt and Mutts. They're going to tell us about their beer-themed dog treats. Lucky dogs.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. All right,
we'll see you guys shortly.
Listen up, people. This is Deese. I'm here to tell you, for all your website needs, you need to go to jenswebdesign.net. She's cheap and she's easy, and she'll take care of you. Websites are for everyone. You need one. Everyone's got one. It's like herpes. Look, go to jenswebdesign.net. That's .net, not .com. That .com age is over. It's not 2001. Live in the now. Go to jenswebdesign.net, tell her the typical bastard sent you, and you'll get taken care of well. Now back to the show. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. So, unfortunately, Peter and Katie from the Malted Mutt had to cancel. They're going to reschedule with us. A large order of dog treats came in. They had to go get that recycled yeast from the breweries and start cooking them up. So, good luck to you guys there. We will reschedule with them soon, though. So, looks like this is going to be a slightly truncated version of the typical bastards in the social hour. But join us next week where we'll be joined by Stephen and Ash Bateman. They host a podcast called Why Haven't I Seen This on the StolenDesk.com network. Go check them out and come back and you can hear him on the show next week. And until then, we'll see you next week. Enjoy this classical music outro.